All right. Well, basically, on our last class, we just started, you know, looking at some of the ideas of the words that we see a lot of, and that's some of the things that you would have been marking. Now, I did mention on the last class to mark, you know, the first part as far as... Let me get one of y'all's so I'm on the right page here. So basically, we covered page 5 and had a little bit of the instructions on there on some of the words that we can mark and such. So on page 6, what kind of words did you see? I know that we marked the idea of God, and in this sense we were looking at some of the things. Once you look at the context and we see this idea of God the Father, what are some of the things that the verses show that's been done for us?
All the blessings.
Okay. Okay. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. We see that in verse 3. And first,
actually, I put something in 1:1 and 1:2. Mm-hmm.
That he wills.
Yes, that he actually willed that Paul be an apostle.
Right.
And in Galatians 1:15, talks about God setting him apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace. You know, and so, you know, it is grace to us that God even called Paul to be an apostle so that we might have the word.
The word, okay. Yeah, because really once you start marking this, you could have listed almost every verse there for at least the first 7 or 8 verses, because once we really look at that, we see all the things that have been done for us. Now, were there any other words or anything that y'all saw?
I thought verse 9 was pretty important in that he made known to us the mystery.
Okay.
The will. You know, I mean, he revealed this, and it hadn't been revealed in the past as a mystery to everybody before him. Now it's a mystery revealed to us.
And what does it say about that as far as what's being revealed? About his kind intentions? And okay, and purposed in him. Okay.
Verse 4, he chose us and also to be holy and blameless. So I have to cut the line or something.
Okay. Predestined us. Yeah, so what I mean, as you go through here, you just see all of these different things that were done for us, and it's a building up of, or maybe one way of putting it is kind of an explanation of some of these spiritual blessings. Or maybe that's not the best word, but we can, from looking at these different verses, we can truly see what was done. We can see God's love for us. We can see the blessings that we have in Christ because of it.
The word grace has been mentioned several times.
Yes, ma'am.
Grace.
Yes, ma'am. So his grace towards us, or his favor. Because we see that in 1:6 about his grace, that he bestowed it on us. Verse 7, we see that. And again in verse 11, we see this idea of predestined again, or has purpose for us. He gives us an inheritance, which that was also one of them I left for the example.
Hope in 12 talks about those, first a hope in Christ, but all of those, you know, we have hope because of the things that he did through Christ Jesus.
Okay.
think also very important is the redemption or salvation and forgiveness.
Yes.
In verse 7, that's, you know,
because that's building upon right where it's talking about His grace. Yes, in Him we have redemption through His blood, and the forgiveness of our trespasses according to His grace.
That allows us to be adopted.
Right.
Be, you know, everything depended on that.
Right. A lot of these verses kind of tie together, don't they? Yes, sir. Yeah, because without this grace, without this love, without these blessings we have, the things that were, you know, set up for us, then without Christ, we wouldn't have that inheritance.
In your instructions, you asked us what the Father does. Mm-hmm. In the case of what Gary mentioned in verse 7, it's talking about Him in Christ.
Right.
But a lot of these things, okay, in Christ we have it. It was God's plan that Christ would come and redemption. So you can almost connect, you know, God like Gary has done with what Christ has done.
Well, and actually, okay, in verse 7, I marked the in Him and through His blood as Christ, but the other, He is at the end, His grace, I marked as God, God the Father.
And redemption, I circled in the red for God.
Right.
Because it starts up in blessed be the God and Father. You know, it, and it just talks about all those things. So it's God given us that through Christ.
And we'll see this too once we get a little further, this idea when we were talking Sunday, and Rock even brought up the idea of where it talks about in verse 3, talking about God the Father has blessed us. And we're going to see here as we go a little further that there's another verse that's similar at the end where it's going to talk about God the Father. And in between this, we have all this sandwich. But we'll get to that a little bit further. So we see this idea, gives an inheritance, redeems, verse 18, hope, riches, inheritance. Same, we see kind of the same things over. Verse 20, brought about in Christ, raised Him up, seated Him on the right, at the right hand. We see this idea all throughout chapter 2. We see... And two.
You know, before we leave one.
There, yes, ma'am.
I don't know if you wanted this. In 120, it's talking about God raising Christ from the dead and seating Him at His, you know,
at His right hand.
Right hand.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
And so, you know, and He put all things under subjection. So that has a great deal with the blessings that we have
mm-hmm.
in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the administration. That
mm-hmm.
he set up all this time. And so...
Yeah, I did actually. I marked that too in verse 20. Brought about in Christ, raised Him. So in a lot of this, because we're going to see, especially when you get to marking some of the things in Christ, you're going to see the similarities and as what was mentioned before, this idea of, although we see these things that Christ have done, this was the Father's plan. I mean, it was the will of the Father. So I mean, but where they're the same in that.
In number 2, verse 4 says, "But God being rich in mercy," I'm sure that He is.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's great love. Great love. That is true. And then in now you might not have used this one as I used also 5 where it talks about what it talks about even when we were dead in our transgression made us alive with Christ. Because just kind of back from verse 4 where it was talking about His riches and His grace. the kindness towards us in Christ. So we see how all of this is connected together. Grace, salvation, prepared, provide. You see these different words such as this. In chapter 3, you see the idea again, grace. God revealed the mystery to Paul. And verse 4 gives understanding. Verse 5, made known, revealed. We see a bunch of these ideas throughout this. Now in 3:5, let's look at that for a minute. So we see, it says here that, kind of going back to where someone had mentioned the mystery a few minutes ago. Oh, yes, sir, about referring to this, you can read and understand. Yes, sir. My insight in the mystery of Christ. So we have the ability to understand this by what's written. And then it talks about which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been now revealed to His holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. And we also understand this idea because of, just like if we were to look at Matthew 28:19, where it talks about, or the Great Commission. We see the same idea. And in verse 18, the idea of all authority has been given to me in the heaven and on earth. And then 19, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. And it goes on to talking about to teach them all that I've commanded. And so we also see a similar idea from that book as far as what the apostles were to do. And because of this, we can understand things. I mean, not that just that in itself, but because of the apostle and the prophets, we can understand what God's will is. Now, in 3:6, it goes on to say that through Christ, God provides a way to be heirs, members, partakers of the promise. And there's several more that I've listed. I don't want to just go over and over and over like a broken record there. So, are there any other comments or thoughts? Or
I did circle 3:12.
Okay.
We have boldness and confident assets. And then 14 says before the Father. Paul is praying here, and we wouldn't have that access to the Father had it not. It's one of the blessings through Christ that God, you know, but right. We do have boldness and confidence to go to prayer, in prayer to God.
So we see that that access was provided. Now, I know Sunday I said just to mark this one section, I wasn't thinking straight, but... So if you didn't go any further than that, that's fine, because I'm sure once you read some of the verses, you're going to see you're going to understand where we're going with this. Because on the next part of this, I put to read chapters 1 through 3 again and mark references to being in Christ or in Him. And also note phrases such as with and through, and what benefits do we as believers have in being in Christ?
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
On that page 5 there, were we going to go over, just as we go through again, the references to God and Jesus, because there's some, you know, that is really hard to distinguish.
To distinguish.
Were you going to do that at another time?
if y'all, as we go through this, if y'all have any thought or input on that, I mean, because, you know, we're not all going to come up exactly with the same answer necessarily as which, on every verse, which this he is or whatever, because one time you might think it's one way and read it again, and it might seem to be different for you, because a lot of that, there's going to be similarities. One good thing about this, though, we recognize that it's you know, the same view on this. So every time we might not exactly know exactly which one it's referring to, but we can still understand what's being spoken about. I don't think it's going to affect that any.
They all speak the same thing. Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, denying each other or going against each other, they're all going to be agreeing with each other. So whatever, whatever it is, it's still the same idea. Yes, sir. Okay, I didn't know if you had a comment. Okay, so in
1 through 3, let me get over here. Now, we already saw that we have every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places through Christ. What other things did you mark or see that we have because of Christ or through Christ or in Him?
Holy and blameless.
Okay, blameless before God.
Adoption, verse 5.
Okay. Okay. Verse 5, adoption as sons.
Redemption, 7.
7, okay.
Verse 6, grace.
We see the idea of grace again and adoption again.
The freedom bestowed upon us. Yeah, that's important. Grace, freedom bestowed upon us. I mean, it's not something we earn. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty clear right here.
Right.
We have
Okay, we have hope.
Christ, verse 12.
We have hope. What? On verse 5, let me see here. Now, my version says through Christ. Does anybody say different on verse 5? He predestined us to adoption of sons.
And sister Jesus Christ.
Okay, through Jesus Christ. Okay. Verse 11, obtained an inheritance. We see inheritance again. We see the idea of hope again. Provides a message of truth. Provides salvation. We see the idea of being sealed, or He seals us. Calling, inheritance. What does 122 say about Christ?
Yeah,
starting
over everything.
So,
authority.
Okay, head over the church. What about individually? Would it be
church, which is His body, the fullness of
the
Godhead?
The part about He put all things under His feet. So
that's pretty much inclusive.
Right. Right.
He is to be our king,
yeah.
My king.
Yeah,
he is to be my authority. You know, He's to be my king.
So in a personal sense, too. Yeah.
And I can obtain the fullness of Him through Christ. You know, that is, you know, that's really awesome to think about, you know, that... that as we are in Christ and we let Him be our Lord and we let Him be our King and rule our life, that we can grow to be the fullness. You know, in the body, we can grow to be the fullness of Christ, you know, as not just everybody together at Humble, but me and you know, we can grow up to be like Christ.
Right. So, but we always have growth there available, I guess, because there's, I mean, but that's the attitude that we should have, ever striving to continue to grow.
Building on that, Craig, on the verse that Linda's bringing up, talking about the fullness of Him. Of course, the body we know is the church.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good another verse here to helps explain this even a little bit more. Colossians 1:24, in a parallel account, talking about this fullness. It says, "Now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake in my flesh. I do share on behalf of His body, which is the church, in filling up." Here's the fullness of that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. So, basically, we need the church to be complete.
Okay.
You know, and that's why he talks about over in Ephesians 4 there, where it talks about, you know, the apostles and prophets and evangelists, pastors and teachers,
right,
for the work of the service, to the building up of the body, and then to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ, verse 13.
Yes, ma'am. Now in chapter 2, we see any other things that maybe something different or something that needs to stand out? Well, I hate saying it that way. It all should stand out. But in 2:5, when it's talking about the grace, or it says, "Alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved." Now, my version uses "with Christ." And some versions might say "in Christ." So, just letting you know on that. And we see that we're raised up with Him and seated us up with Him in the heavenly places. But we see in these verses again, as we're depending on how much of the verse we write down, we still see this connection with the God the Father and Christ. Yes, sir. Do you have a comment, Rocket? Oh, okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
The point. I mean, okay. 2:6, they give you an example. We said, this is what God does. He raised us up.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got the connection with Christ, and you know, raised us up with Him, so we get the spiritual blessings. So it's kind of hard to separate the two.
Right. Yeah, that, I apologize. That's not my intention. Just trying to kind of see some of the differences here as far as some of the references to God the Father and then the blessings in Christ.
Aren't both true? Aren't both true in Christ and with Christ?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I was just stating that they might have...
It's nice that both different versions have different things and it's still both are true.
I think... I don't remember if it's this verse or not. I think one of the verses might even say... with God, I don't... Does anybody have anything besides Christ in verse 2:5? I might be confusing it with a different verse. I had to look at it. I'll take a look at that, though. What about in 2:10?
I love that. Created for His workmanship. And just to think how special, you know, God wants His people to be.
Mm-hmm.
He's got these good works created in Christ Jesus to do. And so He made us to be His people,
right,
to do this. A special, you know, workmanship. And
and it also said we have work to do, huh?
Yeah. And it's good works.
Right. Yeah. Right. For good works, and we're to walk in them. So brought near, peace, establishing peace, reconciled.
Verse 15, abolish the enmity.
I like verse 13, and how it says we're brought near.
Yeah, brought near,
part of that verse.
Okay. And 15, I didn't write, that's good, Rocky, I didn't write that. On 15, I just put establishing peace and abolishing enmity. It's a good one.
What does enmity mean?
Strife. Does anybody have a better definition? Let me see if mine even says anything back here.
Conflict.
Division. Okay.
We talk about verse 10 there, where you talk about the. I noticed that when you talk about prayer beforehand, that refers back to chapter 1 about predestined, you know, predestined the prayer beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. We see the idea of a cornerstone in 2:20.
Verse 16, make one body.
One body?
Become okay. One body with God. Mm-hmm.
And the dwelling place of God in the Spirit, the Holy Temple.
Which one is that one, Linda?
21 and 22.
Talk about 21 and 22. Yes, ma'am. I had turned back for a minute. Okay.
A holy temple and a dwelling place of God in the Spirit.
Being fitted together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we see a lot of these ideas over in also chapter 3. Jim?
Yes, sir. I was going to say, back in 15, we talk about the enmity.
Uh-huh.
And that specifically is the law of commandments, the Old Testament law. And Christ took that away and made us the Jew and Gentile inclusive. So that
right.
Referred to back down in 16.
Okay.
We put to death the enmity.
In which we're actually going to cover some of that. I didn't go in real detail right now. And that's a good point. Yes, sir. Kind of what I've done on the way I did this was basically just the whole idea of this marking is just so as to see how much this really is brought up. Because when we read these verses, I mean, after a while we recognize it, but if we're not careful, sometimes I think we miss a lot of what's being said. So if we're marking it and it's jumping out right at us, you know, we see this idea of, okay, it's saying something about God the Father or Christ or the Spirit, and well, what's in connection with it? What's it telling us behind it? What's it trying to emphasize or teach us? So that was mainly the whole reason why I did that. So I hope I didn't make it too repetitious or anything.
Craig, I thought it was a very good exercise, just exactly your point. You can emphasize how much God has done for us. Just, sometimes you read it and you don't appreciate it. You start writing it down. Boy, he's done a lot for us.
Right.
And even all the spiritual blessings, I mean, just over and over, just so much there. So I thought it was a good exercise, really, to see the magnitude of what God has done.
Well, I know it helps me, because at least when reading, I don't always catch it right then. So if I'm marking it or if I'm writing it, that helps me retain it more.
Also, it shows that these blessings are in Christ. You're not going to find them anywhere, but it's in Christ.
Very good point. Yes, ma'am. That's right. And once we get a little further along, you see also that same idea, because when it's talking about the enmity and talking about what the Jew and Gentile, but now what both can have, and which we'll get that in a little bit further, but that's the only way is through Christ. So that's the only way that you can have these spiritual blessings.
What if it's in Christ? Does that mean connection with Christ?
I would say yes, unless there's a specific verse you had in mind, we can look at it. But that,
well, no, what she said was in Christ, that's correct, but I thought that's also say in connection. Mm-hmm. Connection with Christ.
Right. As far as the salvation.
Everyone.
Right. Okay.
Without Christ,
we're nothing. Oh, yes, sir. I agree.
To me, it shows the great love and mercy that God had for His creation to do all of this, you know, and even before the foundations of the world, to have the plan in place, you know, and to bring about. And it also shows the power of God to bring it about.
Yes, ma'am. Well, when we think about that, because, and especially once we get further along and we start talking about the walk, that's why I like the way that this book was designed. I mean, as far as the first three chapters, you're seeing these blessings over and over, what God's done for us, what was done through Christ, and then what it goes into, how our walk should be or how our life should be. Because especially when we think about these things, it should cause that. I mean, I can't really grasp how we would say we understand all that and truly recognize what was done for us and then not strive to walk in a certain manner. Of course, we're human. We make mistakes. I don't mean that. But as far as our daily walk and striving to do what this God would want us to do because of this love He's shown for us. Now, that should cause us to want to live in accordance to His will.
That kind of reminds you of that scripture, huh? What manner of persons you ought to be.
The kind of persons
we are? Manner of persons you ought to be, the scripture, yeah.
Oh. Was there any other comments or thoughts or marking on this y'all wanted to bring up or anything?
Craig, you had us mark God the Father and you had us mark Jesus Christ. There's also some markings about the Holy Spirit.
The Spirit, yes, sir.
And it also has a rule in here. It just kind of keeps popping up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, we do see a couple rolls in there. And I wasn't leaving him out by no means, but we saw, especially in these first three verses, you see just so much on these two, and that's why I had chose to mark it that way. And especially once we get into, well, we see some of the ideas of this learning and what am I thinking of in either 5 or 6 when it talks about the armor of God, and we got the sword of salvation and the
sword
of the Spirit, yeah, the Word of God. Thank you. I was about to get it all mixed up, wasn't I? Sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. But yes, sir, good point, Rocky. And verse 3:6, well, I already put that one on there as an example, a promise. 3:8, unfathomable riches, which kind of sums up the chapters, really, 1 through 3. We see this unfathomable riches that we have when we think about all the things that was listed. Okay. Yes, sir.
I may mention, and I think we're all aware of this, but just to reemphasize about how rich a book this is in the wording, and just like Ephesians 3:8. Now, wouldn't you think the riches of Christ would be enough? But you see here the amplification that's going on, the unfathomable. And you see that all through the letter. It's just the lavishing and the building upon and the magnifying of all these blessings that we have.
Yes, sir.
To me, it's impressive.
Yes, sir, it is.
And then, you know, and to go along with what Rocky said, in 3:20, it says to him, God, who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, you know. And so we just, I don't think we tap in, you know, a portion of what, you know, we ask of the Father, or the things that we might do, you know, to glorify His name or to, you know, to accomplish for the Word of God. I think we tend to put limits,
right,
on ourselves and God, you know, and what we're able to accomplish. okay. and what his word may accomplish.
Okay.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yes, sir.
It's kind of what she's done.
Yes, sir.
In verse 18 of chapter 1, kind of sums up some of that when Paul says he prays that the eyes of the heart will be enlightened, so that you will know these three things, those the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory, of his inheritance, and the surpassing greatness of his power. So, he prays that they would know these things, and I think that's part of what he's laying out, is them understanding and seeing this. And think about them being, Christians and society that they were in Ephesus, and we're going to read about strength and the walk like you talk about later on, and all this would be encouraging to them to say, hey, come to an understanding of the knowledge of God and the power, and the might, and the riches, then that's overwhelming evidence or incentive to do God's will, to serve God.
Right. Is there any other?
We haven't got there yet, but in chapter 4, verse 14, I think.
4:14? Okay.
14 and 4. No longer be children tossed here and there by the wave and carried away by every wind of doctrine, by trickery of men, by the effectiveness of the superstition. Stay in time with all the various religious groups that we have around.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, it does. Was there any other thoughts or comments or good comments? No? Okay.
Actually, in 321, for people can disagree with this, it's okay. I put down that it's a privilege to praise and give glory to God in Christ. Mm-hmm. Without what God did for us and without Christ, doing what he did, there wouldn't be any reason for us to give praise.
Right.
And actually, we should count it a privilege, It says to be in the glory in the church, for all generations forever. So, it shows that because we have these blessings that we should give him praise and glory. He started out with, in verse chapter 1, blessed be.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's praise to God because of the grace and mercy. So, he starts this part with the spiritual blessings, praise to God, praise to God. He ends it right there.
Yes, ma'am.
I like 17 and onward.
What chapter?
Chapter 3.
Okay.
How basically saying faith is the reason we are being able to. God created faith and God created love, because he created everything, and because God created those two things and God made Christ and carried out his plan through Christ, we can know Christ being rooted and grounded in love and comprehend all of the saints, the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and then to be filled up in the fullness of God. So that's like that's the dual. Plus, you, like Rocky said, you add in the Holy Spirit who gave us the Word, and through all three we can have this fullness. And we can know love, and we can know Christ, and we can know the Holy Spirit, and have this fullness of God. I just like how it all brings together.
Whole package.
Yeah, whole package.
Any other comments or thoughts? Or
see how many millions of people there are out there existing on this earth. And here it is, open, freely given by God. And all they have to do is reach out and get hold of it. It's right there. The Word is free.
And when you think about all that he does for us, and especially the things we've looked at, does he really ask much of us in comparison? Not really. Not really.
Not when you see the grand picture like this.
Right. Right, in comparison, it's...
It's all laid out, we just have to follow it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It must have been something for these who were being persecuted and who had come out of being the Gentile nation, being dead in their trespasses without God, to be told that not only can they have hope for eternity with God someday, but they're actually then and us now raised, you know, into the heavenlies and seated with Christ in the heavenlies. That's not a pie in the sky, maybe someday, you know.
Right.
It's talking about the new man. It's talking about the spiritual man, you know, that they don't have to worry about what Satan and the Roman government or the persecution from the Jews or whatever, you know, they're going to suffer because they're really in a higher place, you
right.
know, than what's going on in the temple world at that time and us now.
So, but, and I agree with you, but it doesn't, it's not going to stop any of those type of things.
Oh, no.
But,
no.
but their attitude towards things.
Look at the same kind of aspect of what you're talking about. Have you put yourself in the shoes of a Gentile back in that time, you know, when the gospel was being preached, and here these apostles are going around saying, hey, you know, you can obey the gospel, you can be a member of God's family. Whereas,
right.
I mean, in the past, centuries and centuries and centuries, it's Jews, Jews, Jews.
Right.
And now, the Gentiles, hey, look at there.
Yeah. They have that blessing too. Good thing, huh?
Good thing for us, huh?
That's a good thing for us.
High five.
We got about 1 minute, I think. So if y'all have any other comments or thoughts or anything like that,
how far are we to work for Sunday?
I think if y'all would just kind of read over some of the. Let me see what we got on this one. So we pretty much ended up on we finished 7, correct? Or 8. If you want to just kind of read through 9 and 10, maybe 11. Not a whole lot of stuff there. So we might end up. Oh, I'm sorry. It's in the folder there on Sunday. I had half of it put in there, and I had to make some more copies there.
Let's start with 9.
Yes, sir. I think that's what I said. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. 9, 10, 11. And I'm sure we probably won't get much further than that. But thank y'all for your comments.